Slow to anger and quick with a piss. That's me.
You get that direct path straight from your chair to the bathroom. You've mastered the art of running in there and coming back.
Just a quick little hop, skip, and a jump
and
over to
back.
The bathroom.
And we're shitting. We are drinking piss.
With how much I've watered down my coffee, you're more or less correct.
We're drinking shit sludge.
I'm trying not to drink beer. The middle of the day on these quarantine days, it's just like, oh yeah, it's past 2 o'clock. I could crack open a beer.
When are you waking up nowadays? Are you still waking up at 9?
Well, yeah, I've been trying to get better about it. Well, the plan is to go to bed before midnight. When I wake up, I assume I won't sleep that much more than 8 hours, but it has been like 9:30 the last few days.
Breaking bad over here.
I am. Instead of blue meth, I just get like all the sleep that my body needs, and that's my dangerous journey into becoming a bad man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesse,
speaking
we
of,
have to nap.
Wearing a dumb hat.
Speaking of Breaking Bad, here's a guy. Here's like a guy. It's a Dom who has watched too much Breaking Bad. He says, I am the one who comes.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's probably like that's 40% of
there's a character for you.
It's probably 40% of the Dom men you would meet on any dating site, honestly.
Yeah.
Is a guy who with a weird hat who's watched too much Breaking Bad and says cringy shit. Because that's just most dudes.
What Funko Pops does your Dom have?
my subs want hazard pay to go get the pizza off the roof.
Oh yeah.
I mean, well, there are a lot of like gay relationships where it's like a young boy and a young guy and a much older male.
Oh yeah.
So it's like maybe Breaking Bad is just gay culture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh right, because Jesse is younger.
Right.
Yeah.
AMC was too cowardly to make Jesse gay the way the original plot called for.
Yeah, Vince Gilligan wrote a story about it was set in the 80s, and it's you know, a young gay kid who has no gay friends, and then Walter White preys on him.
Yeah,
he's like, I mean, hey, I'll be your boyfriend.
Yeah, not to be homophobic, but it's like they're, well, I guess Walt doesn't do meth. Maybe that's the problem. Is that like Walt's straight, so that's why he doesn't.
Are you?
Like
you're just doing the Tiger King show now.
Oh yeah. Oh shit, that is Tiger King. If Walt was just a straight, well, it'd be the reverse, because Tiger King is an older gay guy pimping out like young straight guys, and this would be like an older straight guy having sex with young meth addicted gay guys.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I guess all culture eventually tends towards Tiger King if left unchecked.
Breaking Kings.
I love how like, yeah, so the entirety of the internet, even the like left internet, was just like, okay, so we're gonna obsess over this show that Netflix made. Like,
yeah,
it's like, okay, so,
well, it's,
so we're just getting subsumed by,
well,
whatever's
like nothing else,
the
to
dominant
do.
Cultural hegemony right now, you know. I think that Tiger King is a prime example of consumer culture, and
okay.
I just want to say Huxley was right.
Have you watched it?
Oh yeah, of course.
It's good. It's fascinating. Well, here's the thing. It's like, I think Tiger King hit that spot in a lot of people's brains where they're like, there's an unarticulated type of disease in the United States, like a social disease, you know, like a type of horrible thinking. And then Netflix was like, this isn't the one you were thinking of, but this one's going to blow your fucking mind. And you were like, oh man, that's truly deeply diseased. Shit. Everyone, and people arguing about like, oh, Carol Baskin is better, oh, we like Joe Exotic, like they're just all, every single one of them should be the villain of their own movie, and instead they have to coexist in the Big Brother house that is this docuseries on Netflix.
Yeah,
I couldn't stop watching.
Oh,
it's a train wreck.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch. Everyone is horrible.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to BP Bledis. It feels like it's been a while since it's been all four of us talking to you, but I could just be wrong. But hello,
just been
it's all four of us.
A week and a half because we missed Todd once.
Yeah, well, it feels like, you
one,
know,
one
time
week
is...
One quarantine is like a couple months sometimes.
Time is a flat yeah. circle, and
I went a little crazy in quarantine. Yeah. The morning of 420, I woke up, I took one hit off of my vape pen, uh-huh. and I just went... fucking battle royale.
Is it because you secretly accidentally forgot you put DMT in your vape pen?
No, it was actually just because I ran out of toilet paper.
Oh.
I'll let you put two and two together.
Yeah.
You're saying you went battle royale on your butt with paper towels and you were
I went battle
the
royale on the toilet. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. I see. I was shitting out my doo-doo ass, okay?
I think I see. I'm not 100% sure.
I've seen enough.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody's shitting out their doo-doo ass. With how badly everybody's been eating and how much they've been drinking in quarantine, I think every morning, like 30% of America just kind of like generates enough thrust to hover over the toilet seat for a couple seconds.
We are all shitting out of the doo-doo ass of ideology.
That's
Dr. Freud.
That's true. Have you seen that video?
That's
where that
the German version of Zizek.
Yeah.
Because they're all obsessed with shit in Germany.
Freud-jek.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was Italians. That's what Salo told me anyway. Yeah. They love to eat shit.
Italian.
Did you guys
Gita.
See that
That's
video?
A weird thought.
That's just Beefo. That's just Franco Berardi.
Did you guys see that video of that guy with the mask like going around to people's recycling bins in the suburbs? Like he's masked up walking around and he's just like looking at people's recycling bins and like laughing about how much alcohol is in them.
No, I didn't see that. Sounds fun.
It's not. It's just.
it's
that's
not good.
Definitely the case with me. Yeah, I've been drinking way too much.
It's just like everyone's recycling bins is just like overflowing with wine bottles and Budweiser and shit.
Yeah, I'm on my sixth 30 rack of PBR in quarantine right now, and my girlfriend helps me drink those like a little bit, but like she drinks one for every six that I drink. So
Jesus,
I've been pounding through them.
I don't really drink them. I thought that I didn't really drink because I was so busy and tired. Like for the past few years, I'm like, well, I'm an adult, and I just like haven't really found the time to drink. But I haven't really drank at all in quarantine. I drank like two whiskeys last night, and I almost fell over. But anyway, speaking of almost falling over, Chairman Kim Jong-un, the supreme leader of the DPRK, was reported by seemingly everyone this week to have died, basically saying that he was incredibly ill, and he was on his last leg and everyone was afraid of that he was dying. And then Reuters reported that basically the same night that all of that came out and everyone was like, oh, he's going to die. They were like, actually, South Korea is saying he isn't even ill at all. Mm-hmm. He's not sick. He's definitely not in the hospital. What are you talking about?
I felt a great disturbance. I felt a great disturbance in the force, as if thousands of State Department employees suddenly had a giant boner deflate in unison.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was the classic everyone's reporting it, but no one's reporting it thing, where it was like one article with like one unnamed source is like, Kim Jong-un is sick and dying from surgery. And then every single news outlet is like, Kim Jong-un is definitely dying because someone told a different newspaper that it was happening and didn't even say who they were.
Yeah, it's insane. Like literally all that has to happen is somebody sees Kim take a little bit too heady of a bong rip and he coughs for like 2-3 minutes afterwards, and everybody's reporting that my man's is literally the first weed-induced casualty.
Yeah,
it does happen.
What I read about this is that it started from like some chain email that was sent around by South Korean grandmas regarding you know, one of those things that, you know, the libs send around to each other in email every so often, basically the South Korean equivalent to that. But this time it got so much traction, it actually made national news. And then idiot journalists in the U.S. started trying to opportunistically pick it up and run with it. And that's why it happened. So, I mean, I don't really know what's going on there.
Well, it's funny because I subscribe to the DPRK news channel on YouTube, which exists for some reason.
It's awesome.
And they were immediately like, no, this is not happening. Like, here's like footage of him earlier today, like walking around. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's also funny because they had a little clip up that was like Donald Trump calls CNN reports of his death.
Just call him Donald Trunk.
No, that was cut out, so I don't know what you're actually
Chris
talking about.
Sick burn. Sorry.
Donald junk in the trunk.
John Trump. With a mouth full of chicken and a biscuits. Gotta say.
what really happened is that Kim Jong-un saw the video of the giant baby and immediately started sequestering himself in his home gym, trying to build mass.
Oh yeah, I saw that giant baby.
Just felt inadequate.
That shit was
very disturbing.
It's kind of cute. It's just a big. He's just a big baby. Babies can be big.
Babies shouldn't be human size.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be allowed to be president.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
God, his ass. Trump destroyed.
Donald Trunk.
I'm gonna imagine that this is just what Pod Save America is for like an hour, because I don't want to listen to that show. Is that Jon Favreau is like, hey guys, Donald Trunk, and then all the other Johns are like, ha ha ha, oh ho, ho, Donald Trunk. Speaking of Trunk, you guys heard about Trunk Club? They're our sponsor this week.
Oh my God.
They would have. They just like immediately go into a speaking of for an ad. Mm-hmm.
This episode of Pod Save America is brought to you by a really large baby. Everybody looked at on Twitter.
Did you guys see the house that Jon Favreau just bought? He bought like a $1.7 million house in L.A. My man's
boy
little large.
Is rolling in it.
Yeah, rolling in all that Casper mattress money.
Well, it's like, fuck, are you bitch. Seeing all the fucking write-ups about, what's his name, Andrew Cuomo or one of the other Cuomos and his fucking house? And they're like, he finally came out of his basement. And I'm like, oh my God, did the princess of whatever fucking island in Europe close a car door or something? Is this cause for alarm? Like,
oh yeah, the princess. Yeah, that was that made me want to kill all British people.
Right, it was like Meghan Markle closes car door. It was like
it was
a Guardian
breaking news
or something.
Wait, yeah. What? Hold up. I have kind of been off Twitter recently. What's going on here?
We'll send it to you. I mean, there's nothing much. It's like a one paragraph article, and like
it was in the BBC. I think
was it BBC or like one of their other like weird things, but basically it's just like a picture of her closing a car door, and it's like Meghan Markle closes car door. I
guess
not
supposed to close their own car door or some bullshit like that.
Well, they just like don't usually.
Oh shit, it is BBC. The fucking state news is like the princess closes a car door.
She closed her
own door.
Can
you believe it? Oh my heavens. There's one country that's more disease than America. It's gotta be Britain.
Like, no, it's 100% Britain is our like deteriorating uncle who is like all of the bad things that like all of the bad habits, the misogyny, the racism that has come down to America started with the uncle, but he's like worse.
Mm-hmm. So in this analogy, the United States is Hunter Biden.
That's exactly correct.
Yes. We have, you know, a few redeeming qualities, like if we get a stripper pregnant, we'll pay child support. Britain would just have the child murdered.
Yeah, Hunter Biden, cool in some ways.
Yeah.
Unlike Joe Biden.
We do crack sometimes. Joe Biden, nothing. Doesn't even do crack.
Nothing cool at all. He's a coward and doesn't even smoke crack.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, more on xenophobia. Matt Gaetz, who is a Republican congressman of Florida, mm-hmm.
One of the most psycho legislators in our entire country. Like this is one of the guys that's like, yeah. You know, we have guys in Congress that are just straight up like, we should slaughter the poor, chattel slavery should come back, and it should be specifically for people who follow George Takei on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's not the worst idea I've ever heard. Have you seen George Takei's tweets? They're horrible. If you volunteer for that, you should not chattel slavery, but like a couple of weeks of re-education.
Look, we're getting dangerously close to horseshoe theory, just because we and the right both think that liberals should be in camps.
Yeah, a different kind of camp. It would be kind of like a summer camp.
A kinder, gentler, yeah. camp.
Well, just make it like an epic Harry Potter camp or something, and then don't even tell them until after a week.
Yeah, we'll just send the liberals to Harry Potter world forever.
Well, no, we just, it's like a summer camp, and we're like, it's going to be all Harry Potter all the time. And be like, this is one of J.K. Rowling's lesser known works, and we hand them some Lennon, but it has like, we have the artist, like Mary Grand Pré, make some art for it, so it looks like a Harry Potter book, and they're this is weird. It's a lot more complicated, and it's like, there's a lot more politics in it, but I mean,
so wait, Voldemort, J.K. Rowling wrote it. Why is he called the Tsar in this one?
Yeah, this is weird, but it's pretty cool. I hope Hermione shows up soon, and then before they know it, they've been re-educated.
Yeah. But this guy is absolutely nuts.
Wait. Before we move on, Leon Weasley. That's all I want to contribute to that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
God damn. My brain is breaking.
But yeah, so Matt Gaetz, he's not just your average. I don't know if we've talked about him on the show before, but he looks like a youth pastor. Like, he's got that like annoying potato face.
His mouth looks like it's photoshopped upside down, like all the time. Yeah. I don't understand how he pulls it off.
But he's not your average, like, you know, corporate conservative. This guy is like far insane. Like, he was crowdsourcing a resolution from R the Donald on Reddit.
He's like a fucking Pepe guy.
He's a Pepe guy. And it's like weird that he's in Congress and no one talks about it.
I mean, we have Steve King in Congress too. Like, there's bigger racists in Congress.
Yeah, but like he's like a new sort of alt-right kind of guy. Yeah. But most people don't even know that he exists. He's
like the second
insane.
Generation of the really reactionary people who like rode the Tea Party wave into Congress.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so he posted on Twitter saying that what is the quote exactly? He basically said that Joe Biden has spent 50 years simping for China.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the kind of rhetoric we should have had from the Bernie campaign. That's how we would have won. That's how Bernie still could win if he starts just posting.
Donald Trump is a simp for big business, and I think we need a president who is a simp for the working class women with big dumpers on OnlyFans. That's why for every $2 my campaign receives, I will spend $1 on an OnlyFans. Personally, I don't look at it, but a lot of my grandchildren, you know, they're big fans of the OnlyFans, so I'm going to hand them out to anyone who needs one.
Bernie Sanders, do you know what an OnlyFans is?
No comment.
Okay. So, according to this article at summit.news, they claim that simp originally means, is an acronym that says suckers idolizing
mediocre pussy. Yeah,
this is incorrect.
That's 100% false. There's no way.
You learn something new every day.
No, that is correct.
No, it isn't.
That's true. Yeah,
it means like simpering or simpleton.
No, it started as like simpering or simpleton, and somebody retconned it to be suckers idolizing mediocre pussy.
That's a backronym, which is fine.
Yeah,
but like, why do we need to make it more misogynist?
Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah. This article is written by Paul Joseph Watson, by the way. So, of course, it doesn't make any sense.
But he's basically, which is funny because Paul Joseph Watson is saying that the meme is dead now because a Republican congressman said it. But it's like, isn't he a Republican guy? Isn't he? I mean, I know he's British, but he's an alt-right guy, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why, an InfoWars guy. Paul Joseph Watson still works for InfoWars, right? Like, why does he care if a congressman says a meme? Like,
I feel like he might be just living off of the royalties of his various supplements.
There is a Brain Force ad further down here.
Yeah, Simp Force One.
I think it's just because they're finally onto something and they've realized that Joe Biden really is a 50-year-old deep state operative for the Chinese government. He's a committed Marxist and he's an extremely wealthy online simp who gives them money and attention and, you know, just a little walking around money usually.
Oh man. What if that's been like the 100-year, like there's a really, really secret leftist cabal that none of us even know about. And they were like, it's simple. We just have a guy who pretends to be the most dumb reactionary senator out there. He acts like he's losing his mind constantly, but actually he's a brilliant and principled Marxist and he's going to rise through the ranks and run for president forever. Mm. until he can finally win. And then once he's in office, he takes down the U.S. from the inside.
Man, damn. Bernie dropping out really broke y'all's brains.
Yeah, that's really stupid.
No, it's going to happen. This is how Bernie can still win. Is Joe Biden wins, and then he pulls off a mask, and it's like, actually, I've been Bernie the entire time. You fucking fools. Joe Biden is not even real.
Joe Biden isn't real?
Yeah, Bernie, he's just an alter ego. Like, oh, Bernie was running against himself the entire time. He just endorsed himself.
That's some real 4D chess. I love that. That's
just behind the scenes with the Bernie campaign, like 30 years later, like, yes, we were very, very proud of the whole corn pop thing. That played out exactly how we wanted it to.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, I think that, like, if you really, like, I don't think that we need to spend more episodes doing more postmortems on the Bernie campaign. But the one thing that probably the last thing that I will say about it is, yeah, he should have been meaner. He should have gone after. He should have gone for the throat on Biden, and he didn't. And for that reason, he probably left a lot on the table as far as damage he could have done to Biden. So unfortunately, that's now we are where we're at, and we have to work on what we're going to do to move forward. We can't go
which
backwards.
It's going to be very funny when the quarantine is over and everyone burns down the White House.
That would be nice.
It will be nice. I'm going to roast marshmallows.
Or maybe every Trump voter is just going to try to inject themselves with bleach, because Trump was like, can't you just inject your lungs with bleach? And then Bernie Sanders can somehow win third party, because there's more support for him third party than Joe Biden on the Democratic ticket.
I mean, with all of the fucking insane, like, miracle cures and stuff that have been peddled by, like, TV pastors and preachers and even, like, the Trump administration themselves with that
chloroquine,
whatever the fuck that was. But people have been taking this stuff, so I would not be surprised if just off that casual, careless comment we see in the news, like, somebody tried putting Drano in their veins to blast their lungs out of the coronavirus, and it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that already kind of happens. Like, it's a really weird, like, it's people who get really into, like, alternative medicine, like, start reading things that are like, if you drink bleach, it'll cure diseases. So I've got a feeling that some of those people are going to be like, yep, bleach cures everything, including coronavirus.
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter today be like, I think it was today, someone be like, well, look, I pour a half cup of Clorox in my bath to remove the aluminum from my body. So, this could probably work.
Oh, no.
Like, what?
I think there was an interview with Tiffany Haddish, the actress, where she talked about, like, drinking bleach or using it to clean her skin or something, and the interviewer is like, oh, what do you, that's not like, that doesn't,
you can't do that,
do anything. She's like, no, it's like made me so healthy, like my career took off as soon as I started drinking bleach. Like, people with a lot of money, and like, yeah, it's very, very, very upsetting.
Well, it's like, once you already have access to good health care and, like, you have the money to go buy really nice organic food at Whole Foods and you still feel like shit sometimes, obviously, because, like, you're kind of a bad person, but you don't want to admit that that's what it is. So you're just like, it must be because I haven't found the right miracle cure out there. Then you get really into, like, eating gluten-free for no fucking reason or cutting some random shit out of your life, like self-diagnosing yourself with mystical diseases. It's like, not to bring up Tiger King again, but it's like when they ask the people in Bhagavan Doc Antle's compound, like, what's he a doctor of? They just answer mystical science.
Hey, don't knock the doctorate in mystical science, all right?
Yeah, look, you gotta have a doctor of mystical science.
Here's the problem, okay? They are making us sick with their disease, aka 5G.
Yes. Wow. Confirmed fact.
While, and they sell us their cures, aka vaccines,
right,
while they suppress our medicine, aka bleach enemas.
Right.
I can't and wait to go get my 5G vaccine. That's going to be so fucking dope.
Yeah.
And the thing about the, the famous people, like, they end up just, that's how you get into adrenochrome. The more famous you get, the more, like, different types of stuff you want to do. And they're like, why can't I fill this hole of emptiness inside of me? And then they're like, well, just, like, inject this child's blood into you.
You're telling me that those are the people I should be selling bags of oregano to for $40 a gram?
That's absolutely true.
This is just like, as long as it's the most exclusive, organic, free range, ethically sourced marijuana derivative not known to the general public.
Yeah, this is homeopathic marijuana.
Well, basically, the American people are baby.
Oh. The American people are just
putting stuff in their mouth. That's essentially what's going on.
So you're saying that in order to have a successful socialist revolution in the United States, we need to baby-proof it so we don't have a bunch of drywall-eaten, lead-paint goblin, Tide Pod-swallowing millennials, Gen X, and baby boomers just wandering around bashing their heads into the walls like overgrown toddlers that everyone is disgusted by on Twitter.
100%.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
That's why everyone hated seeing the big baby so much, because they were just seeing themselves.
if you look deeply into the big baby, the baby looks back into you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's terrifying. Makes me shudder.
Well, speaking of being an idiot, I don't know. Las Vegas.
Speaking of drinking bleach.
The mayor, I believe, or governor of Las Vegas. Mayor.
The governor of the city of Las Vegas.
Right, I guess
the king of Las Vegas.
Being in New York City, the feudal lord.
yeah, because in New York we basically have these like feudal lords that are like five generations deep into mayoring and governing our city and state.
Right, the mayor and the governor are basically the same guy. Yeah. So, also Las Vegas is like barely a city. So, anyway,
yeah,
the mayor's office is like, hey, why don't you just let us do whatever we want and we'll just see how many people die.
Yeah. This is my favorite though, because it's couched in the language of science. She's like, yes, we should be a control group. You aren't really able to tell how effective your cures and preventative measures are until you just let a bunch of people who live in Las Vegas fucking die. So you have some, some big juicy stats to compare to.
Oh God.
So if you didn't do anything, we got to know what would happen. And we need the numbers of if we just let the virus overtake, because it's so weird, because that's not a control group of like, no, that's not what anybody's reaction would be. Like, if you knew there was a virus, some people are going to be in place.
So I just want to like talk about who the mayor of Las Vegas is, right? This Carolyn Goodman person.
Tell me about it.
So Carolyn Goodman is one of these politicians that once, you know, her husband reached his term limit, he just got his wife to run to replace him. So it's one of these political dynasties. She's apparently an independent, because Oscar Goodman, her husband, transitioned to being an independent alongside her in about 2009, right? So what that basically tells me is that this husband and wife dynamic duo that's been running Las Vegas for like however many years has now apparently moved right during the economic crisis, right into the center.
Cool.
Like the, you know, I'm doing scare quotes here, center. What basically that is telling me is Carolyn Goodman is trying to genocide all of the low paid service workers and union members who voted for Bernie in the primary in Nevada. That is that I guarantee you that is at least one of her many just fucking abhorrent motivations for this behavior as mayor.
Of course. I mean, all of these people are trying to simply just continue making profit in the middle of a pandemic at any cost. And like, the idea is just, she says, this isn't China, this is Las Vegas.
About air conditioning, it's like, do you not have air conditioning in Las Vegas the same as they do in China?
No,
it's like, really, like, oh no, we don't actually go in for diseases the way the Chinese do. We have a bit of a different view where we don't get sick. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and I feel like everybody who's in charge of anything is just trying to sort of like, they're realizing that, oh, we're losing money by, you know, keeping people safe. And so the calculus of capital is we should let people die so we cannot lose money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we'll but not lose money.
It's multifaceted,
also,
though, because like, think about it. All these the Culinary Workers Union, all of these unions and groups that supported Bernie and helped him win in a landslide in Nevada, They're the essential workers. They're the people that are most likely to contract this illness and die. So they're literally, it's a numbers game to them. They're doing game theory by through inaction, doing a genocide on workers.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they don't want to lose profit, and they also don't want to like lose the plot, like lose the narrative of like, you have to work to survive and you have to work to have food and shelter. Like if people are out of work long enough and like not all getting evicted, it's like at a certain point, people are going to like not want to go back to work without a lot more payment and a lot more, you know, support from the, cause like it's how can you feel like going to work is like helps you survive if going to work will make you die? It's kind of just like basically makes like striking your only sane option if like the other option is go back to work and be killed by the inaction of your city and your mayor.
Yeah, I think that's really hitting the nail on the head, is like the thing, it's not direct profits that the ruling class is so scared of losing right now. It's the normalizing force that keeps us thinking that like their mode of production is the only way we're ever going to get back to receiving some kind of like sustenance for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the longer that we all sit in this quarantine, especially in a place like Las Vegas, where, you know, labor and capital and the value of a dollar versus the value of an hour of work are so alienated from each other, like so pointedly alienated from each other in these casino environments, that like, you know, they could seriously crack and crumble if they let the illusion slip for too long. And it's starting to get to that point in some places in the United States right now.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, everybody needs to be like calling for anybody. If your governor isn't calling for a worker strike, a general strike, during this, then you should never support them ever again. anybody who's defending the idea that, you know, we can go back to the way it is, even if their position is, you know, well, we need to wait until it's safe, you know, until we can start going back to the normal, quote unquote normal, that's still evil and terrible, and they shouldn't have anybody's, they don't have anybody's best interest in mind.
Yeah.
And speaking of not having anybody's best interest in mind, this man is being made an example out of by a lot of people. His name was John McDaniels, and he said online or something, he was just like, the coronavirus is a political plot, pushing bullshit lockdown. I think he said this on Facebook or something, but he fucking died of coronavirus.
Oh, it's, man, just gonna keep happening. And I hate to laugh at somebody dying, but it's like when your last words online are the equivalent of being like, they couldn't hit a fucking side of a barn for this distance, and then you get popped right in the head by the virus. I can't help but feel like, yeah, that's kind of fucking funny, dude. Like, sorry. Yeah.
Well, it's the same energy as, what are you gonna do, stab me, quote from Man Stab.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, exactly. Funny.
You know, I totally agree with you, John. Like, my first like reaction to this story, that people were like, you know, putting the dancing crabs or whatever, and I was like, well, wait a minute, like, was this guy just some idiot who you know, was just confused? And, you know, my I was thinking of like my father or whatever, like maybe he was just saying something dumb and then died, and that would have been sad to me. But this guy is not just some idiot. Like, this guy owns an enormous metal refining factory in Ohio.
What?
This is shit. This is not being reported by literally anyone. It's like,
so his, I mean, not to do that Upton Sinclair quote, but like, a man's paycheck really, sorry. It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
Mm-hmm. That's why nobody will understand how funny Pickle Rick is, because like the deep state pays them to not understand it.
So right. His grandfather founded the company O&M. It's, his name was Marion McDaniel. Oh my God, the town that it's in is called Marion after the guy who started this company.
Jesus.
So look, this guy is a hardworking business owner.
Job creator.
He's worked very hard at being a person who inherited an entire business from his father.
Yeah, this guy's bootstraps were big enough to pull a whole town out of the ground in Ohio.
That's right.
I don't think that's anything to sneeze at.
Yeah.
He was the third generation of president of this company. He stepped down in 2017, and his dipshit son, who looks like a deformed Trent Reznor, is now the president of this company.
Trent Reznor.
And it looks like they basically just do like metal manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't do it. The workers that they underpay.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny. The About Us is literally these four guys with the same last name, and that's it.
That's insane. The history of the company. Four guys were the president, and no one else ever did anything.
So the reason that anybody knew that this guy was saying this is a political ploy is because he was the president of like the biggest company in this town. He's not just some Facebook crank who like worked at Walmart and like died of coronavirus. He's like the fucking president of the backbone of the this town, you know, that's like this manufacturing company that like everyone worked at. So he was basically just trying to get everybody to not go back, like not leave work, because you can't work from home at a metal manufacturing company, you know what I mean? Like there's no like saving your profits by like having your workers work from home if they're, you know, metal workers.
Yeah. Do you mind doing that welding project over Zoom?
Yeah. I also, like I was saying to John, I also was like, I don't know if we should laugh at this guy, but fuck this guy.
Fuck this guy. This is hilarious.
But speaking of getting what you deserve.
So this is one that I found. I think it was on Facebook. This is as yet unconfirmed, but I did find an article from around the same time. Apparently in Tulsa, there was a double murder at an apartment complex after a man got into an altercation, I believe at the beginning of this month, over rent related to the coronavirus, and shot both the apartment manager and I believe the facilities manager. Some of these articles are saying that the facilities person was not a manager. So I think, you know, celebrating both is not great. So if that person got caught in the collateral, that is very tragic. But killing an apartment manager because they are refusing to budge on your rent or whatever because of coronavirus, practice of the week, folks.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, I feel like we're going to see more and more stuff like this happening. And, you know, this is why I think tenants unions are so important. And
absolutely.
We have to, you know, just like the last time we saw somebody do something really cool by themselves, like the guy who, you know, attacked ICE by himself. But the problem is like, this guy's probably just going to go to jail. And I don't know if he's going to actually do anything, if he's going to help, you know, take over the apartment for the renters. But it's really important that, you know, if you are going to stand your ground, and not pay rent, and make sure that, you know, everybody can afford to live in the place you live. You got to make sure everyone's on board. You got to have a plan. You got to, you know, stand your ground in a smart way. I don't know the situation. There's not enough information yet, but hopefully something is done so, you know, some rental corporation doesn't just buy it and then charge everyone more rent or evict them more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is a big thing with coronavirus. It's like I see a lot of people, even on the left, basically just being like, look, you know, they're telling you you can't leave your home and, you know, they're telling you all these things. And it's like the state is good because they're enforcing this for our protection. It's like the state is never good. This is just an extraordinary circumstance in which there are certain things that the state is doing that are harm reduction. All right. So don't fucking trust any of that shit. Do what's good. Do what's good yourself and organize with people like Bryn said, in a tenants union, stuff like that, because the enforcement of the state is always just going to be to protect property over you.
Oh yeah. You know, in terms of this, the American state, like making, you know, rent, calling for rent. What are they calling it? Rent,
rent
relaxation or whatever.
Yeah.
Rent freezes. Like, yeah, that's 100%. Like most of the states are using that language. And then what they're doing is saying like, well, you're going to owe double, you know, like, yeah, like lots of places are just being like, you're just going to go ahead and have to pay way more when it's over, or, you know, there's no rent forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi is like, look, no one's going to, I don't get a freeze on the amount I have, my electrical bill for my 8 freezers for all my ice cream. Why should anyone get a rent freeze?
Oh, oh yeah. Shit. We have,
did you guys see, oh, did you guys see the thing about the ice cream, how it's like connected to fucking like everybody who's involved with Jeffrey Epstein?
Oh dude, no. I'm so excited about Ice Cream Gate.
Yeah. Oh man. I didn't see that. I mean, just like the, on its face, it's like the new optics cheese pizza.
Ice Cream Gate is already what I call my freezer. So
it's like Stargate, but you're accessing a world of ice. It's just a world made of ice cream.
Yeah, it's my portal to the land of king cones and ice cream sandwiches. Which is just, man, like,
I think I'm on board now.
Damn, that's just the magic of what happens when you smoke weed.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, there came out to be this ice cream company that was donating like thousands and thousands of dollars to Joe Biden's campaign.
Well, not that, but but Joe Biden was actually buying thousands and thousands of dollars worth of ice cream. Like there was like, you can look this up. I think there was almost 100 different separate transactions,
yes,
of like hundreds of dollars each buying ice cream from this one specific company.
Huh. Is it same kind Nancy Pelosi was eating, like in her freezer? Or
Yes, okay. It was. And ooh, that person was, that company is like, the woman who owns that company is on the board of the Wexner Center Foundation. Les Wexner is the owner of, you know, Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein,
I think she was
connection?
Also in, wow, in Harvey Weinstein's replies or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Unreal.
This fucking country.
Yeah, she's the founder and chief creative officer of the Wexner Center Foundation and also Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams.
Every layer you peel back.
I just love living in ancient Rome, but with Twitter. That's like the greatest thing.
Yeah. It's disgusting and weird, and we'll probably talk about this more on the bonus episode after we research it a little more and get a little more info on it. So be sure to subscribe for that.
Get some info wars on it.
Yeah, we'll do some info wars.
Yeah.
But let's talk about people we actually like a little bit before the end of this episode. It has all people who are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of people who are doing the right thing in this coronavirus, the Insane Clown Posse have canceled the gathering of the Juggalos, stating the bottom line is simply that we refuse to risk even one Juggalo life by hosting a gathering during these troubling times.
Oh shit! Did you guys see how they did a Travis Scott concert in Minecraft in Fortnite? How
I did.
Gonna,
I saw
what,
an ad for
what
it.
Video game do we think they're going to do the Insane Clown Posse Gathering of the Juggalos in?
Twisted Metal, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit,
that's
yeah.
The move.
Hell yeah.
I think they should do it in Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Oh,
because
yeah,
you can make Juggalo face
paint.
Yeah.
That's right. Hell yeah. Club Penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Gathering of the Juggalos this year in Club Penguin.
Yeah,
exclusive.
Habbo Hotel. Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, just everybody put on Insane Clown Posse face paint and be like, pool's closed.
God damn, that's an internet deep cut right there.
Yeah,
ICP finally has their concert in Club Penguin, and they are the force that finally tips over the iceberg.
Yeah.
The pool is closed due to coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. But they say, with tens of thousands of deaths due to the COVID-19 outbreak, we can't possibly in good conscience even consider trying to put on a gathering during these difficult times. Aside from the serious health concerns, there are numerous other factors that have destroyed any possibility of the gathering taking place this year. The entire music industry is at a dead halt due to the quarantine. And this, along with the uncertainty of how things will eventually pan out, has made it impossible to move forward with the 2020 gathering. So, of course, they make the right move. they absolutely shouldn't have this. I don't know when it was supposed to be. I'm assuming during the summer.
But
obviously most concerts, all concerts are canceled, which sucks, but obviously needs to be the case until everything is better. So shout out to ICP for not being, they're always so surprisingly not the weird conservative reactionaries you think they are.
Yeah.
And I always like to see that.
No, Juggalos are like significantly left of center.
Yeah, it's weird. They are really into being very dumb and having the correct political line all of the time.
I feel like the idea that Juggalos are dumb is kind of a misconception.
It's probably just classism.
Classism.
I feel like they also like to lean into it. Like that's sort of, they like to like be like, man, I inhaled a bunch of car accelerator because I thought it would get me high.
Just riding my dirt bike and chugging Faygo.
It's like a community for people who probably got made fun of for being poor when they were growing up, right? And like wearing Walmart clothes or wearing Goodwill clothes, stuff like that. And like, I mean, that was kind of how I grew up. And I was in a Michigan trailer park, which is like ground zero for Juggalo activity. And it never stood out as a real potential thing to be for me. But I had a lot of friends who toyed with the idea of being a Juggalo. And it's kind of like furries. You expect them to be a lot worse than they are. But I feel like Juggalos have even a better track record than furries. Largely.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting, I remember when I first saw the fucking, the stickers on the back of the car, you know, the big, hatchet man. I was very interested. I definitely was very poor growing up and really felt that the aesthetic was something I enjoyed, but I just could never get in the music. I was too much of a snob for the music. The aesthetic I loved. I was as a middle schooler, I was like painting my face and being goth. this is I'm all about this. This is the original goth Joker shit. But I could just the music.
That's what's cool
was
about the Juggalo aesthetic. It's not just goth, it's also painting your face like the Joker, which are the two things that I feel most deeply inside my soul aesthetically.
Same.
Yeah, I mean that's the true soul of America is like being Jokerfied and being sad. Like
and
those
being goth,
two, yeah, and you have
that's the proletarian aesthetic.
Yeah, the proletarian consciousness.
You ever feel like in front of your friends, you got to be like the sad clown? You feel like, you know, sometimes I just feel like a sad clown, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel that sometimes.
But Doctor, I am Shaggy Too Dope.
Yes. All right. And with that little riff, we should move on to the last story about...
a real hero, an essential worker who was unfairly harassed by the police in what I thought was America. This man, Trey Azigthoth, which is not his real name, but who gives a shit what his real name is? Trey Azigthoth from the metal band Morbid Angel was pulled
over
for the cops.
Hell yeah, boy, Morbid Angel.
they fuck. He was pulled over by the cops and he admitted to taking a couple of shots before he left the house, and then he told the cops, I'm a professional drinker.
I can handle it, guys. Come on. It's fine.
Which is what I'm going to tell the cops next time I get pulled over with weed smoke billowing out of the car. It's just that I do this for a living, and I'll show them my podcast.
But in both cases,
saying I'm a professional podcaster.
Yeah, like if someone drinks all the time, and they have, two shots? I would trust him to drive a car. Just like I would trust John to drive me around high out of his mind. He knows how to do it.
That's 100% accurate. I've definitely had friends who, like, they're, you know, smacked out of their face. And they're like, no, I can drive. And I'm like, I believe you. Mm-hmm. But this, I mean, to be clear, do not drink and drive. You, listener, cannot do it. This guy, I don't know.
Only drink and drive if you're really good at it.
I have a feeling that this guy he knows his limits, and he probably was fine. But
in Spanish,
in
case British, we're coming out hard pro drinking and driving. Yeah, but only oh if my you're really God. Good at it.
On a closed track on your private property that you bought with your thrash metal money, yes, go ahead and drink and drive to your heart's content in your
sorry,
huge
Bruno, I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. But they are also death metal, not thrash metal. But
okay.
it says that his blood alcohol level was measured at 0.2.
That's high.
Point two.
Yeah, that's really high. That's
the legal limit in
shots.
Most states is 0.08. Yeah. So this guy is over twice the legal limit.
I think it's safe to say
he's definitely a professional, folks.
Yeah, do not try this at home. He knows what he's doing. But in the case of John, he is a professional weed smoker.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah, it has become my job. Thanks, quarantine, for the layoff, by the way. I'm a professional all kinds of shit now.
Professional a streamer. Mario maker, professional weed smoker. Yeah.
And we are now surviving from smoking weed. So thank you very much. And, you know, shout out to Trey Azagthoth. I don't know how to say that.
There's no way one shot gave him like 0.218.
Sounds like a boss in World of Warcraft.
Well, maybe he, when he said shot, he was injecting straight alcohol into his veins.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, look, he's been around a lot, and I picked up a little trick in Wisconsin you can use where you can tell cops you only had one drink by going to the bar and asking for a 12-ounce beer mug full of whiskey.
And they call that a shot.
That's a shot. Yeah. That's a Wisconsin shot right there.
Boy,
that's right.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening to this episode of BP Bledis. It has been fun to talk to you once again this month, this week, and we will be back next week. But
we'll be back next month.
Yeah, we'll be back. Well, actually, wait. It's almost the 24th, so maybe.
Oh, yeah.
We used to be back next month. We still are, but we used to, too.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But yeah, until then, follow us on all of the social medias at BB Belief with two E's or EA if it's not Twitter.
EA Games.
EA Games. That's how you remember BB
right.
Belief
We're,
spelled correctly.
This episode of BB Lettuce was sponsored by DLC.
Yeah. Sponsored by Loot Crates, which we love. We love Funko Pops. We are actually pleased to announce that all four of us will be getting our own Funko Pops made of ourselves. So that's very exciting. Look out for those on the Patreon. Speaking of Patreon, it's patreon.com/bbletus. Hang out with us in mids posting. Listen to my other show, Generation Loss. Watch our streaming stuff on twitch.tv/bbletuspod. And we'll see you in the Discord.
Beep on, y'all.
Keep
beeping. Stay safe.